legs, brawny enough to scale walls and jump from roof to roof, where he was often seen adjusting the red clay tiles that served to protect against what little rain was shed in Provence. If it wasn't his singular looks or his phenomenal strength, perhaps it was his love of adventure that did it. The camping trips through the wilds of Corsica, his enthusiasm for discovering isolated beaches in Slovenia, painted caves in Puglia, or whitewater kayaking in the Ardèche. As soon as he scraped enough money to leave, he'd be off, and the girls would miraculously follow. That's how it had once been. But now there was Pierrette, whom he'd lived with for 7 years, and who had come to believe that, despite his nature, Filou should evolve into that most desirable of mates, a one-woman man. A knocking brought him to his feet, and his friend, Lilian, pushed through the ill-fitting door, causing the dogs to recommence their howling. "I thought that might be you," she said. "What's going on?" Filou sighed. "Oh, no," said Lilian. "What have you been up to?"
"Just taking life as it comes. Carpe diem," he exclaimed with a desperate gesture of his hands.
"My dear Filou, when are you going to grow up?"
Lilian put her fists on her hips and gazed at him, a disappointed look on her face.
"You're not a youngster anymore. It's 1980. Besides, Pierrette's an independent woman who doesn't have to put up with this kind of behavior. You're going to lose her."
Lilian was still a handsome woman with a pleasing figure, despite having had 5 children. Her fine chestnut hair that showed no gray was pulled back in a chignon. Of course, as Filou well knew, she wasn't what she'd been as an adolescent when she had whiled away summer days, lying on a chaise longue in a miasma of perfumed suntan oil that had made her splendid body gleam like expensive quartz. Filou had been a mere boy then, and the lovely Lilian, the object of his devotion. He would drift over to Domaine Petitjean each day, deserting his classmates, who he felt frittered away their summers playing pointless games in Beaucastel's dusty square. Instead, he was eager to fulfill Lilian's every wish, mostly having to do with running to the town's épicerie in order to purchase cellophane bags of potato chips and select the frostiest bottles of Fanta from the rusty electric ice chest that stood out front. He and Lilian had shared this bounty together and talked until the sun descended behind the cypress trees, at which point Lilian would wrap a towel around her glorious form and bid him goodbye. "You're the most intelligent and interesting boy I know," she often told her adoring slave, and Filou had hoped she would feel that way forever. By the time he was 13 and she was 18, Lilian represented much more than the pleasure of a snack of salty chips and fizzy orange drink imbibed in female company. The daughter of vintners with a large landholding, Lilian came from quite a different background than Filou, whose own father had disappeared years before, leaving his mother to eke out a living selling produce in the nearby town of Saint-Maxence. For Filou, Lilian was the forbidden fruit, within reach, but never to be touched. And to his chagrin, there were others who began to come around, older boys who seemed to have more of a claim on Lilian than he ever would. Finally, when Clément appeared on the scene, all was lost. Filou realized in his young heart that his love for Lilian had been hopeless, and he determined that this would be the last time that he would ever allow an unrequited passion to overtake him. His philosophy became to pursue and conquer, and if things didn't quickly work themselves out in the way he desired, he'd be off to something new before the undecided female could say, "Don't go."
"Who was it this time?" Lilian asked him.
"You haven't had to move into our little room for quite a while now. She must have been a bombshell."
Filou noticed that an amused smile flickered across his friend's face, despite her accusing tone. He shrugged.
"I was working in Serret yesterday, replacing some joists on Madame de Lobry's roof, when, tiens, I thought I recognized someone going into the place across the street, when a light came on and the